All right, what's up, everyone? This is episode, I'm going to say 14 of the All Drive, No Drop podcast with David from Tickle My Pickleball, Jacob here. David, how's it going? How are you doing on this? Is this the last weekend we'll be recording? Last weekend before Christmas. I don't know. What is the date today? No, I think we got one more Sunday, right? One more. Never mind. No Happy New Year's yet, but Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays out there. But how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to stay away from the cold, as you can see, doing some rearranging around the house. So I'm back in the prison cell background, no longer in the gym right now. There's stuff down there.
Sorry to whoever that really bothered, but yeah. I think you can manage, you know, it's okay. But yeah, that's good. I'm a little under weather. I didn't play too much this week, but you know, just like when I stopped playing, all this drama goes down, really picked up over the weekend. I guess we could start with the pro. I mean, it's all pro related drama, but let's kind of start with this Ben and Colin Johns thing. It's been announced. It was announced like all over the place, really, that Ben Johns is going to be looking for a new partner. I will say it was funny. I saw, so when it first broke, I think the Dink reported it. You know, they got tons of sources or whatever, and right away the Kitchen responded and said, like, there's no confirmed sources, like, this is made up, like, you need to make sure you get your sources right. And then I didn't see them backtrack that, but then I saw them post a whole bunch like, oh, Colin and Ben are breaking up. Did you see that first post? I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't follow that much. I was kind of waiting. I mean, I feel like a lot of people kind of knew it was going to happen, so yeah. Like, when I saw it, I was like, you know, it's probably, even if it's someone like messing around, like, it probably is true. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like anyone who follows pro pickleball can just see the frustration on the court and knows that, like, Ben is easily at least a top three player, if not still the best men's doubles player.
Yeah,
and he just isn't gonna sit there. Even, you know, he's only, I think, only held on this long because Colin is his brother. But at the end of the day, he's young still, and he doesn't want to waste time not, you know, being at the top. And, you know, if he gets someone else that has more offense, going to do a lot better. You know, lots of names being thrown around, like Gabe Tardio, Hayden Patrick Quinn. And then, like, I guess, like, a safer option would be Matt Wright. I think the Matt Wright thing could work out for this year, but, I mean, the guy's 748, I think. Not a lot of time left, I think, for like holding up on the court. But I guess if anyone can make that work, it'd be Ben, because Matt just doesn't have the mobility, but Ben covers so much court. I don't really have any like main thoughts of like who would be the best for him, because I don't think he's actually gonna, if he would have done this a year ago, he would have had his choice. But now some of those teams have been beating him. They might not want to break up just to play with him. Gabe Tardio, Hayden Patrick can both be amazing for him. But these two are kind of like, they have flashier games. And I think if they go play with Ben, don't they kind of like get overshadowed by Ben? Like, you don't get to be the star anymore. And everything becomes your fault if you lose. And Ben gets credit if you win.
Yeah. And also, the thing is, I do know people talk a bit about, like, the play styles may not mesh that well, because Gabe is a bit more aggressive, and I don't know, maybe Ben wants that, like, someone that's more aggressive on the right rather than, like, how passive Colin was. But I don't know, another name that was being thrown around was actually Augie, because he did say he wanted that, like, the future of men's doubles would be righty and lefty combo. Yeah. And he's probably like the best lefty right now, because the only other options are really like Pablo and Tyler Leung. So,
yeah, and I feel like Pablo and him might not get along, just like from when they've played each other and just stuff I've heard. So it's always another thing to think about. It's hard to know, you know, what's true with the players getting along rumors. But yeah, that, I think Augie Go would be a good one, and I don't think he's got anything like solidified, and he's new enough where it's not really like he's scared to leave a partner for Ben Johns if he comes calling. but
you know, actually, no one's like Riley doesn't really have a partner, right? Like a dedicated one.
From what I understand, those two are not going to play. They're not friends, and so I don't think that would work. I think Riley's ego is too big to play with Ben. Mm-hmm. He wants to be like the alpha on the team. But I mean, what we've seen with like Stakstrud and Patrick Quinn and some of these other players, when you get that person on the right that is playing more like 50-50 sometimes, or sometimes the right side's taking over in certain scenarios, they're doing really well. So I don't know, but I Ben's gonna have to learn to adjust, obviously, and he's won with people like Matt Wright, who doesn't play as passive as Colin. So. And if he's trading in Colin, he's got to be looking for someone that's more aggressive, right? He doesn't want someone. You can't be more passive than Colin. I don't think you can. Anyone is. But it'll be interesting to see. That will shake things up quite a bit, because if he takes a partner from someone else and then they're going to take a partner, you know, a lot of dominoes will fall from this, I think, unless, you know, he gets Augie. And I don't think Augie really had a solidified partner.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I don't have any, like, I'm not rooting for anyone to play with him. Doesn't matter to me. So it'll be interesting. I think actually one name I forgot to mention was it Dylan Frazier? A lot of people are talking about too. Mm. So that would be interesting too. But I think Dylan wants to play the left. I'm not sure that's I don't think that's the exact reason why him and JW broke up. But I think he wants to play the left now. So. Okay. I don't know how that would work. And then I think Gabe Tardio is supposed to play with JW, so that'd be and they're pretty good friends, so that'd be an awkward time leaving. But so he might not leave. We'll see. Anyone you want to see him end up with?
I mean, I don't really follow the pro scene, so really
whatever happens. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think the next tournament is in January, so we'll probably know pretty soon, I'm sure. Him and Yola will do like some publicity on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
They always, every time there's a new, actually, I think like Riley had some like new partnership he announced too. I don't think that lasted, but like, yeah, people love to announce the new partnerships, and why not? So hopefully it will be interesting. And that kind of leads us into the next topic here, which is a group of paddle companies got together. And
I think what I wanted to talk about was what side do you normally play? And I think I did want to do like a discussion on like,
oh, yeah, so like in tournaments or just in general, like, I guess,
yeah, just like what you prefer.
So in men's, I've mainly just played straight up, and then I've played on the left a bit. Mostly straight up and mostly left. I haven't really had like a consistent men's partner. I think the most I've played, and I haven't really been playing a ton of tournaments either, but I haven't really had a consistent men's partner. And then in mixed, I play the left, and I do prefer playing the left in mixed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, it just, I play a lot better on the left. I can get more, but I've had scenarios where like it makes sense to go on the right. Say you want to get like the woman in front of the other woman, and it can work. And then in men's, like, I think I actually am really good on the right. You know, like, obviously they're playing just rec or meetup, whatever, you're switching sides all the time. I play really good on the right because my hands are really good. So if I'm like on the right and I'm playing more passive and I'm just looking to counter, and also I can play a little bit more aggressive on the right with I got a lot of reach out of the air, so I can hit those backhand flicks. Not say I'm like Gabe Tardio, Hayden Patrick Quinn, but I've got more reach than both of them. So like I can play aggressive from the right as well. So I could play either side. I prefer playing the left right now, but like I'm totally fine playing the right if there's, you know, someone's way better than me and I'm just like letting them cook. Gotcha. Do you prefer a side or?
For me, I like started playing right mainly because I hurt my shoulder when I first started playing pickleball, and I like couldn't really hit overheads. So then because of that, I just kind of gravitated more towards the right side. But yeah, the reason I ask is, do you think there's any, what are quote unquote called like left side paddles versus like right side paddles? like when you play on a certain side, like do you gravitate towards like a different paddle that you would choose?
Gotcha. I've thought about it. It like, and I was even, messing with the idea of like, hey, in men's doubles, I don't want as like poppy of a paddle because maybe the game's gonna go a little slower sometimes. There's gonna be more dinking. But I see it both ways, and I think it just depends on what type of player you are. Because say you're on the right side, and you're gonna play more of a passive role, and you're just looking to counter, you're looking to dink. You might still want that super poppy paddle because you want those counters to have something behind them. If you're playing with a super soft paddle and they're just dinking to you and attacking you and your counters are weak because you're playing with a super soft paddle and your power is weak on your overheads and just your drives, then it just depends, I guess. So like for me, I wouldn't change my paddle if I'm playing on the left or right, because I want my counters to be pretty good. I want, the pop to be a pretty good level, and I'd want that for the same. I think I would only change if it's like maybe the ball, it's really cold and the ball's cold, and I'm like, yeah, this paddle's too poppy for the weather. But yeah, I wouldn't change paddles. But I don't think that I think it's a smart idea. It just depends on how you see your role and how you see the game. Would you switch paddles if you were left or right?
Yeah, I actually use different ones. So like I always used elongated ones when I play on the left, mainly because I just want that little bit of extra reach. And then also like in mixed, because I, as a guy, you need to be a bit more aggressive. So gravitate towards elongated there. And then recently, because I've been playing on the right a bit more for like the men's league, that's why I've been using a lot of standard shape paddles. So that's where I just want to be able to counter well, have a lot of like, big sweet spot, because I'm going to be getting enhanced battles. That guy is going to be speeding up at me, and I just need to be ready for it. So yeah, I just go standard shape or elongated. There's no room for hybrid for me.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't even think about it in terms of shape. I was thinking about it more of like pop and power, but shape actually makes a lot of sense. So when you say it like that, I agree. I'll have to test it out a little bit more and see. I don't play like enough, I guess, like mixed men's, like switching over. Like I feel like I need to do it like in the same day, like play some mix, play the men's, and then but then I need to do each time with each shape and just kind of see. But I see what you mean, because and yeah, it makes you're definitely trying to take up more room, and every like more bit of length that you can get really helps. So, and then obviously the hand speed for the men's is super important. So I'm gonna write that one down. That's a great idea. Anything else before we transition to the paddle company letter?
No, let's go into that.
All right.
I'm actually, I don't know too much about this, so
All
this is
right.
my
I'm
first
gonna
time.
throw it up on the screen. I don't think you'll be able to see it, but I'm gonna summarize it for everyone because it's not that long, but I don't need to read the whole thing. But you can definitely pause the video if you want to. Basically, this is a list of companies. We'll just start out with the companies that are co-signing this. It's Selkirk, Head, Engage, Gearbox, Babolat, Vatic Pro, Holbrook, Reload, Komodo, and Gamma. So all these companies, I think, are companies that were kind of rumored to be looking to be in the game for the UPAA certification. And if you're totally out of the loop, the UPAA is basically an organization that the parent company of the PPA has stood up to be like a new paddle certification that would take the place of USAP, or be a rival of USAP, I guess I should say. So they wrote a letter. It says, "Dear Jason," Jason Aspis is the president of the UPAA. So they're saying, "Dear Jason, they're worried. They recognize and appreciate all the effort that Jason and his team have put in, but they acknowledge that the USAP has had a lot of shortcomings, but they say that the USAP has been making a lot of improvements and doing a lot better lately. And they are concerned about the transparency and the conflicts of interest between the UPA, PPA, and UPAA," which is, I think, a very valid concern, because at the end of the day, who UPAA is supposed to be independent, but they have so much. They're under the same umbrella as the PPA, MLP. So how could they not have conflict of interest there? Like, you're never going to do something that's going to hurt the PPA. And who does the PPA work with? They work with their biggest sponsors, right? So they're always going to be looking out for their biggest sponsors. So if you're not their biggest sponsor, you're never going to get the best deal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they felt that the certification practices, fair certification practices, could not be assured right now from the UPAA, and they are asking for a reprieve of no less than 1 year or longer, if needed, from the certification and comprehensive broadcast and participation and marketing licensing fee. This will allow all the companies to continue being featured on broadcasts, leverage PPA and MLP logos on packaging, and much more new submissions for the paddle within the PPA and MLP tours. So they're saying that, like, I think the deadline coming up is April 1st, basically. So they're asking to push that deadline back to get certified because they don't think it's fair right now. They don't think it's going to be a good environment. And then they just say that this is the... Oh, they also say that none of them are going to pay any of the certification fees for a year or more until they get some more collaboration with all the companies. And then here's a list of companies again you can look at. So basically there, and then more to come. There's some notable ones missing: ProXR, Paddletech, and Proton. I think those three would have the most pros left that were on the list, because they said on this letter that I assume one of these companies leaked originally because they wanted the attention, said updates to the list of co-signing manufacturers will be sent as available. So I had a few companies reach out, and I was supposed to talk to one of the owners of one of the companies because, you know, things, I think like this came out on Saturday. So things started buzzing about this, and I was like, oh, I'm interested to see what's going on. Cause like, if you get all the companies, basically all the companies except Yola, cause you know, Yola is not going to go against, they're already got a good deal with UPAA. So if you get all the companies except Yola to say they're not going to pay certification, are you really going to just have a tour with just Yola? So they do have leverage here if they all are able to band together and say, we're not paying your certification fees. Do whatever you want if you're going to keep going. And then it would be interesting if they're like, okay, we'll just have the Yola tour. I don't know if they would do that, but maybe. And then... The people that I was going to talk to, basically it came out that it sounds like Chris is doing interview with Selkirk. They probably already did the interview, and it's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, between Selkirk and Chris or whoever, I'm sure it was probably Selkirk and the companies, there's like, don't say anything until that interview. So it sounds like a lot of information will come out in that interview maybe. Wish I got the scoop, but I didn't. So what can you do? That's all I know. It sounds like, you know, things are happening. And I just when I thought we weren't going to have any more action, it got pretty action-packed. So we'll see, you know, what happens. Because all these players have contracts for next year, most of them, right? So it's not even like they could go to the APP and all the other paddle companies could go, like, sponsor the APP now because they have contracts with the PPA. I don't know how that works if, like, they left. There'd be a lot of lawsuits, I'm sure. Any thoughts on that situation going on?
No, I mean, I think it's a good step in the right direction. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of these smaller companies, and I think players too, like, aren't a fan of, like, having this new UPA around, because I think the rules are just kind of, they're in flux right now. No one really knows, like, what is the actual approval process. And then that makes it tough for all the manufacturers. And then that makes it tougher, like, us as players on, like, well, if I want to play in this tournament, like, what paddles can we even use? And, you know, I do think, like, it's good that these smaller companies are banding up, and not even just the smart goes. I mean, Selkirk's like that big name in there, and props to them. Like, they could have totally just gone the other way, and that would have probably just killed all the momentum on these smaller companies trying to speak up, because, you know, they actually have a voice. So props to them.
Yeah, if they didn't have Selkirk in here, it would definitely carry a lot less weight. But since they do have Selkirk, it probably attracted more people to join. So it'll be interesting to see. I want to see if they get like Palatech on board. Obviously, Palatech has Anna Lee, so that's like one of the biggest probably voices.
Yeah,
like she alone probably could change things, right? Like, she's the most important player in pickleball, I would say. So we'll see what happens. Very interesting, though. I'm sure we'll learn a lot more this coming week about what's going on, because this is like a time sensitive issue here coming up. So we'll see.
It's just funny seeing some of those paddle companies you listed. I was like, who the heck is Komodo? Is that the Kevlar brand?
Yeah, I guess they've been around for a bit, and I don't know if he still is, but originally Andre Agassi was like one of the owners, or he was sponsored. Okay. But yeah, I've seen it pop up a few times. Still never seen one of the paddles. I haven't talked to them. I haven't tried the paddles. I've seen people ask about them a couple of times. But yeah, it's interesting you see them in there. Like, okay, cool, Komodo. Like, yeah. I didn't know you were even playing.
Yeah.
But I think there was like a few others that didn't really have pros or that many pros, but...
Yeah, I like guess you, plot, you know, Gamma,
yeah. They have Chris Hayworth. I think that's it. And then Head only has like two pros. But I mean, obviously they have a lot of money, and they could easily come in and get more pros with all the tennis money they have. So they might be looking to make a play, and they just want to make sure that they're able to make the play. But yeah, that's all I have. Any other final words on that?
Nope, just looking forward to seeing what that Selkirk interview is like.
Hey, I was like, I love the drama and the stuff going on, because I was like, I felt like things were cooling down, so I'm like, cool, give us more stuff to talk about, give us more entertainment for the end of the year. Usually it's a quiet time, but you know, they decided like, let's pop off during Christmas, why not? So our main topic today is that was kind of a pretty good topic already, but New Year's resolutions. So we have New Year's resolutions for ourselves, got some New Year's resolutions for paddle companies, and then I figured I'd throw one in there about New Year's resolutions for pickleball facilities, as I think like five or six facilities have opened in my area, actually probably more. I feel like maybe 10 opened this year. It's been a wild year for pickleball facilities this year. Last year we only had like, in my area, like my vicinity, we only had like two options. Now, if you're willing to drive, there's probably 12 options, which is pretty crazy. Like an hour radius. It's pretty crazy. And more coming next year. So we'll see. We'll start with our New Year's resolutions. Why don't you kick us off with, you don't have to go through your whole list at the start. Let's go one and one. Let's go one and one.
All right, my first one is trying to level up my dinks a bit. After I did that clinic with James Ignatowicz, he was just get some like nasty topspin dinks on me and just like completely pull me out wide. And then, you know, normally I've just been doing like slice dinks. If you might have seen in some of my videos, like I've been trying to like incorporate like a two-handed dink in there, and then like trying to add some topspin on the forehand. It's not very consistent yet, but that's like one thing. Like I want to drill a bit more, play less, drill more, and especially that's like that shot that I really want to nail down, because you know, getting to that level where dinking is a lot more important, I just want to be like more aggressive at the kitchen. So that's like top one for me.
Gotcha. So I actually kind of have something similar. It's working on some shots. I implemented the two-hand topspin backhand dink this year. That helps a lot, especially with speed-ups, disguising that two-handed speed-up. So I've gotten so much better at the two-handed speed-up this year. I want to work on placing my dinks and really thinking with intentionality of where I want to put my dinks, because sometimes I get into the rhythm of, like, I'm just dinking. I'm looking to dink aggressive, but I'm not really thinking about where I'm aiming the dig, so I'm just going hard cross court. Yeah. I really want to think about, like, am I going for that inside foot, the outside foot? Am I going middle? I want to make sure I'm moving people around with those digs and really just start focusing on what am I trying to do with those digs as my digs get better and really make sure I'm focusing on the placement. And then I want to make my drops better. I know it's all drive, but sometimes I do drop. And I want to, like, I'm really good at my drops already, but I want to go for more aggressive drops. Like, I was watching Anna Lee play, and I really noticed how much spin she gets on her drops, and she really goes for aggressive drops that just, like, you know, are dipping, landing, like, almost at the end, the non-volley line. The kitchen line. You can't say it. Yeah, but they're, like, landing right there, and it just makes it so, like, you have to take it out of the air, like, very low, or you have to step back, and that allows you to just get up there, get more aggressive. So I really want to work on more aggressive drops. And those are kind of the shots that I really want to work on this year. And, I mean, I'm sure there'll be other stuff, but I think those two will help me a ton.
Okay. All right. Next one for me is, I'm already doing a bad job about this, but stop leaving my grip strengthener on the shelf and never using it. Got one of these, improved my forehand or forearm strength, and then, like, never use it. So it's been on that shelf. It was just there. So I want to make this, get those flicks a bit stronger. I also got, like, one of those that, like, you spin around.
Yeah.
I forgot who was, I think it was that pickleball guy talked about it. But yeah, I bought those two on Black Friday, maybe like 2 years ago, and I never used them, so I want to start using these again.
I have to look into that. Maybe I need to get some forearm
grip. Yeah, maybe also, you know, good side effect, I just get, like, massive forearms too.
Dude, yeah. Make sure you do your left arm or right arm. You know, don't just do
one arm. Yeah, I gotta do both.
Yeah. My next one is I want to go to a pro tournament. Still haven't been to a pro tournament, and Beer City would be the closest one for me. So I hope to go there this year. I think they're doing MLP there, probably. This is what they did last year. I'm not sure if that's the plan. I'm not sure if I'm going to play in it or just go and maybe network and stuff, but I think it would be cool to just go. There's they bring in, like, beer tents, beer cars, and it's just a really cool vibe from what I've seen and heard from all my friends. So really want to make it to Beer City. And maybe we'll get David there. And it sounds like we'd be a perfect fit. He wants to play the right side. I want to play the left side.
Yeah. Plus, my brother actually knows the guy who runs it or something. He was like,
oh, does he?
Yeah, he's like talking to me. He's like, is there some pickleball tournament here? Like, my friend runs something. I was like, the Beer City Open? That's kind of big. He's like, yeah, he was like talking about something. My brother doesn't play pickleball.
So. Okay, I was going to say, why haven't we had your brother on that?
No, he does not play.
Okay, maybe he has the connection because they have, like, a lottery to get in there. So maybe he has a little connection for us to get in the tournament.
All right, I'll let him know. Yeah.
Never hurts to ask. Yeah. But yeah, that would be really fun if we could do that this year. It's really up to David. I'm making him travel far.
Yeah, I mean, my brother's there, so we'll probably make
it. Oh, he lives in GR?
No, he's in like 30 minutes from Detroit. He's in Michigan, though.
Oh, okay. So he's probably around where I'm at. All right, we'll make it happen. If not Beer City, let's do something random. We'll do whatever. All right. It could be a challenge core at open. All right. You're next.
All right. Next one for me would be, I do need to level up my video production somewhat, but, like, for me, when I do this channel, it's more of a hobby for me. Like, I'm just kind of, I like to play pickleball, I like to talk about the paddles, and it's nice that I can, like, help people out and stay a part of, like, this, the reviewer community, having access to these paddles and, like, giving feedback is really nice. The part I don't like is video editing. But I do see, like, you know, it's an area I am lacking in. So I do want to start putting a little bit more effort into it. Right now I do everything on my phone. So I did get some software for my computer. I have not learned it yet, but starting next year, maybe in some future videos, you might see a little bit of an update to the production, but, you know, we'll see how much I learn. But yeah, that's my next one. Just doing some better video editing.
What was that, an open casting call for video editors, or this is all self-taught stuff?
Oh, it's all self-taught. I did look into like having someone do the production. Dustin from Pickleball Medicine, he like connected me to some people, but I guess I don't know. I was just like at that point where it, like, I still kind of see this more as a hobby than like trying to grow a channel, really. So
I've looked into it before too, but like how much people charge, it just wouldn't make sense. I'd be like, I would be losing money. So
especially because we would need to provide all the B-roll footage to like send over, like basically sending, like we're already shooting everything and then sending it over to be spliced up. So
I did do a few with a video editor like very early on in the channel, just because I knew nothing. And it took me more work getting it to them, teaching them like what was going on. Then that's why I just had to learn it, because I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you just don't understand. Like, I didn't understand how they didn't understand. Like, I would lay out like, you know, step by step, and it wasn't there. So I was like, I can't do it. I just got to do it. Uh-huh. And plus, then you're always waiting on someone. It's like, hey, I want to post this at a certain time. Then you got to wait. And if it's wrong, and then but my next one, really want to get my oldest son playing this year. He'll be 5 next year. Really want to get him on the courts more, and hopefully be, I think 5 is probably too young to be like playing like seriously with people, but you never know. Like, I really want to see what he can do, and hopefully he, like, you know, he's been surrounded by pickleball almost not his whole life, but like all of his memories of life, really. He's seen all the paddles, and you know, he's like, he knows like when I'm going at in the evening, he's like, daddy's going to play pickleball. I'm like, you know it. So I want to get him playing this year more.
So you are on this track of like, you would have him start pickleball instead of tennis?
Yes, because I just don't want to play tennis, but I guess it won't hurt. I probably need to get out and have them do both, because there's a possibility pickleball won't be a school sport, right? So that would kind of suck if he's playing pickleball, but, you know, they only have the tennis team. So we should probably do both. And I did have a ton of fun playing tennis in, like, high school. And I think they might have it in middle school here. It's a super fun team sport, in my opinion. Did you play tennis in high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have a lot of fun doing it?
I think I definitely have more fun playing pickleball. I think I like tennis better as a sport, but like pickleball is like a more social thing now that
Just as like a team atmosphere, it was fun, you know, playing with my friends, going to the matches, and, you know, rooting for each other in the tournaments. I always in practice, I mean, practice was still fun. So
no, that was like the opposite for me, because like, you know how it's like the whole ranking system, right? And so, like, so kind of a bit cutthroat. So people like want your spot, and then it didn't seem like people had your back. At least that was my experience
playing. I got you. I played with the same guy all 4 years, so like maybe it probably had a different experience. Like, we just had a lot of fun, and yeah, we finished the year strong. Like, we had a junior year, we had like 9 seniors, so our team was really good. And then my senior year, we only had 3 seniors. Our team was terrible, but we were 1 doubles, and we were crushing people. But our team would lose every time. But we were winning, and we were like known for like trash talking. I don't think tennis is really like a trash talking sport too much. I mean, you see it at the pros, but it wasn't as much at the high school level, like trash talking. We really brought it to the table. So we had fun. But yeah, get my son to play. And then what else you got?
I don't have too much. I think one would be to fix this background. I can't, unfortunately, because it's already kind of has like some stuff on it. Like, I could, but my wife says to not punch any holes into this wall. Which I think is fine. Like, I personally would not like people to walk into the house and just see, like, why does he have like a random paddle wall there? I'd rather have that in another room. So I don't know. I like that gym setup right now, except I'm sitting on 2 bumper plates with a cushion, and I can't lean back or anything. It hurts my butt if we talk too long.
Can we get you a chair?
Oh no, it's because of the way I'm trying to angle it so the overhead light doesn't get in the way and give
Oh,
you
it's
like
so you
put
have
so
to go
much glare.
low.
Yeah, so I have to go like on the ground and then this way, I don't know. There's probably a better way to do this. Maybe this is why I need a video editor, but
You need like a floor cushion or something.
I do want to have like a pickleball-ish like background, but I want it to be like a temporary one where it's not like permanently like in the wall, like there's no hooks or anything. It's like, I don't know, maybe like a shelf. So I'll think about it.
I mean, that's why I got the shelf with all the paddles, so I could one to organize it, but two, like just have something there. But it's been good. Okay, so this next one I really need to like put some more thought into, but I want to implement more like off the court training, like for strength training, like your forearm grip thing.
Oh,
Like I want to
yeah.
do some strength training, maybe some flexibility stuff. I do some of that. Like I do a lot of stretching, but I think that could help me not just play better, but like the longevity of me playing. Like as we get older, I want to make sure that like I can keep playing and keep playing well and not get injured. So I want to implement some off the court training, and I think that will just pay dividends, like not just for pickleball but just for my life. Then the last one, I just said I wanted to diversify my content because a lot of what we do is make paddle reviews, and that's kind of I guess what we do with the podcast too. Like we get to talk more than just like strictly, oh, this is this paddle. So that's helped a lot. Like I was getting a little bit burnt out just doing paddle review.
Yeah, sure.
So like when we have more of a free form, more of an open space to talk about whatever we want, I think it's a lot easier to, touch on different things. But I would like to like maybe do some training videos, do some like I don't know, just diversify the content than strictly paddle reviews because it really does get tiring.
Yeah, especially when I think when I was doing the thermoform paddles, maybe it was like a year ago, even this year, like there was just so many, you're just kind of saying the same thing a lot. Does burn
Oh
you out a bit.
yeah, that yeah it gets there, and then people are like, oh well, what's the difference between this and this and this? And I'm like, really? Some of these paddles are like pretty much the same thing. But luckily we've had some like really good ones lately that
Yeah.
stand out, so that's been nice. Yeah, but for a while there, when there's like a whole bunch of thermoform paddles that were very similar, I was getting exhausted. That's all I have for my personal resolutions. Do you have any more to add?
No, not off the top of my head. They
Okay.
would all be like non-pickleball related stuff.
I mean, you can throw one in there if you want, if it's if you want to share.
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay.
I
We getting kids this year?
don't know. We'll see. Probably not,
Oh, no?
honestly.
Okay. All right. Thought I'd ask. No more kids for me, so we shut that out. Facility resolutions. So there's really like four main things. So I couldn't think of like, okay, like you need to really do this. I'm like, okay, when you build a facility, you need good court spacing, you need good lights, you need good dividers, and oh, good court surface. Those are the four things you have to nail, or you will get people that just won't play there if you don't have those four good things. I would say like dividers probably is like one thing you could skip on, but like can we just get fences when you build these courts? Like build the fences. Jeez, like build the fence. It doesn't have to be a tall fence, just a small fence. Lighting, super important. If you get bad lighting, whether the light's shining in someone's face or it's too dark, people won't like if they have this. And of course, this means like if they have other options, they'll go there. If you're the only facility in town, I guess do whatever you want. But at least, I would take some pride in the facility you're building. Court surface, super important. And this is probably more for like so the avid players and the higher level players. They're very picky about the court surface. Like if you're not going to do a normal court surface, get some higher level players in there to like test it out to let you know if it will work or not. Like there's a lot of people doing like cushioning surfaces. Those usually don't work. They usually don't
Is
have a
that
good
what the
bounce.
lifetime surfaces?
A lot of these lifetimes will build surfaces over basketball courts. And that's where the problem is. Like, here we have one that has like a normal tennis court surface, but all the other Lifetimes have built over basketball courts. So,
yeah. And it's that, not like, terrible. Spongy-ish feel.
Yeah, it's spongy. It's not terrible, but it's not like the ideal court. So, whenever you're the company tells you that, like, oh, this will play just like a tennis court surface, usually it won't. So don't go cheap on the court surface. I don't even know if it's cheaper or, like, they're just saying, like, the reason I've always seen is they're like, it's better on your knees. And I'm like, okay, but if it doesn't play well, people just won't use it.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my four main things for making sure you have a good facility. And you know what? This year, if you want to come hire me to do some consulting, since everyone's opening in Southeast Michigan, I'll consult for you. I'll let you know. I know some people that are very picky, and I can bring them in there, and they can tell you what's wrong right away. So
yeah.
And you think I'm missing anything from facilities resolutions? Anything that's super important? I mean, like, I guess you talk about like programming and pricing, but that's kind of like dependent on the area, right? Like, I don't think you could really nail that down for what you need to do.
But to go along with what you said about lighting, I think it's a lot of that also has to do with like the color of the walls. If you have white walls, we cannot see the ball that well. And it's especially worse if you're a reviewer trying to shoot footage and then the viewer can't see the ball anymore. I know Will shot like one video and it was in like a facility that had white walls. I could not see anything. And there's like some facilities that I've shot in where I just can't even use the content because it's just, I like try so hard to mess with like the saturation and the brightness. Like, I can't see the ball at all. Like, I can't use this footage. So at least for a reviewer or like if you're someone that like likes to record games, like we definitely appreciate having like a darker wall there.
Yeah. That's a really good point. No white walls.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the default color for people not thinking about things. So
yeah,
shows up a little bit more than you would think. But at least that one is an easy fix. They can just paint it. Can't really fix it if you do the wrong court surface. You're going to have to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
Lighting can be fixed. Spacing can be fixed if you're willing to go down a court or two. And the separators can be fixed. With the court surface, that one's, you got to get that right the first time or it's going to cost you a lot of money. Anything else on facilities or should we move on to paddle company resolutions?
I think paddle company. I think our viewers are more interested in this one.
Let's let you go first. Just cook it. What do you got?
All right. I think in 2025, we should stop making edgeless paddles. Or if you're going to make one, at least make it good. Because I think right now, everyone's kind of doing it for aesthetic purposes. And like they cost more. And honestly, like they don't play any better than a paddle with an edge guard. So,
and they have paint grit usually.
Yeah.
So they look better. Is that really the only redeeming quality they have?
I think the one thing is like they do have like a specific feel to them, like a Power Air or like the Holbrooks. Like the edgeless paddles have like a bit of a stiffer like plywood like feel, and I think some people might like it, but I think it's like a small majority, yeah. Or like a minority of people that actually like that feel. And I don't know, companies just keep pushing out like you've got the banger behind you. I haven't tried that one out yet, but I don't know if I'm going to like it, to be honest. I want to, but, you know, we'll see. But I think that one is a bit cheaper, though, so we'll see.
Yeah, that one, I don't know. I can't remember the price now, but I know he's trying to price all of his paddles like $130, $120. So that's probably one of the cheaper edgeless paddles out there.
Yeah.
But, edgeless 14mm, not expecting great things. Stock, definitely going to have to add weight to that. I would agree. Never have mained an edgeless paddle, so I can't say I'm a huge fan. I don't see that many edgeless paddles being used either, besides Selkirk.
Yeah.
Uh, So it doesn't
then,
seem
like a lot of them are like they're paid to use that paddle. So
exactly,
I feel like people don't actually like them.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's interesting. So the next one I had was insane marketing claims. I wanted to like gather a list so I could read them to you. Let's do that next time. I just was not feeling good enough this week to get all that stuff going.
Okay.
But yeah, like the insane marketing claims, like Forever Grit from Selkirk. This is one thing I was thinking about. Just like, you know, every company that tries to pitch us to review their paddle, they tell us it's the biggest sweet spot, the most power, just premium feel, super maneuverable. They give us the same spiel every time. Come on.
Yeah.
And then when I ask for something specific, they just tell me like, oh, like it's just so good everywhere. Like, you know, I'm like I'll ask what's like a unique aspect of this paddle that something else doesn't have. And they never give me the answer. Mm-hmm. They always just say it's amazing. It's the best ever. But they never give me like a specific example. They'll be like, our foam is just so foamy.
Yeah, it's always like, yeah, you have power when you want it and then control when you need it. Unparalleled sweet spots, highest spin, perfect balance, whatever. Like, I think every single paddle probably says that.
Yeah. What's your next one?
I think this is probably a personal one for me, and I think you might agree with me in here, but kind of wish they would stop giving us paddle covers. I don't know about you, but I never use them, and they're taking up so much space in my face.
This is just a reviewer-specific thing.
Yeah. I feel like I don't see many players use it, honestly. Like, I don't know. I feel like people want to shove it in their peg and they take it out. I don't see it, that many people use paddle covers. But, I mean, that could just be
It's funny you bring this up because I asked a ton of people when I have a box just full of paddle covers right now. And I was asking people, like, do you use paddle covers? And I would say, like, 70% of people said yes. So I think they're just keeping the paddle cover in their bag, and, like, they shove the paddle in the paddle cover in the bag.
Okay.
But for me, and I'm sure you, it's like, I'm not going to bring 10 paddles or 5 paddles of paddle covers and have to take them off and on every time. It just takes too long. I don't need the paddle covers either. I know some people have like more premium paddle covers and they want to send them to you. Like, look, it looks so cool. But I don't even think people ask me about paddle covers in the reviews that much either. Like, I rarely see people talking about paddle covers. I forget to mention the paddle cover in the review because like I just don't think about it. But I guess let us know, how important is a paddle cover to you?
Yeah.
Should we talk about paddle covers more? We know David's opinion. They don't matter.
Looks like we're going to do a tier list next.
Paddle cover tier list. Let's see how many views that can get. Not all the paddle covers are the same, but I was thinking about an idea. When it's warm again and there's like a really good court that has like higher level open play, weekend mornings, I'm going to bring all the paddle covers in a box and I'll just be like, free paddle covers, come help yourself. Because I was trying to donate them to like a school or something, you know, like, or some program with kids that are doing paddles. So like maybe I'll like put some paddles and covers off to the side, but I easily have over 100 paddle covers. And
yeah,
I'm just, I don't want to throw them away if someone wants to use them. So I don't know. Paddle cover giveaway? Is that? I don't know if that's worth the time, but maybe if there's enough demand for I highly doubt it. Like, some companies charge like $15, $20 for the paddle cover too.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? Who's paying that? And then when they throw it in, like in the price, they're like $20, $25 value. I'm like, is it though? Yeah. Is it $25 value? Like, you could probably buy a backpack for the same price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think that was coming up tonight, but I had more thoughts than I thought I would have. Next up, better designs. Can we get some better designs on these paddles? Look at this. You got the Invader. I didn't even plan this, but the Invader, nice design. New Super Courts from Chorus. Those are nice designs. Even the Enhanced Banger. it's interesting, at least. It's not played. I don't know if it's this, you know, it's going to be for everyone because it's a little more extreme. And unfortunately, my my homies here over at Honolulu probably get the most disrespect about their designs.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, I don't... Sorry. I don't find their designs, like, ugly, but it's not anything that's going to stand out, right? Like, it,
yeah.
Some people are, like, either it's boring or they think it's ugly. So... I'm not specifically talking to Honolulu. I'm talking to everyone. Let's get those designs looking good. Like, we want to play with paddles that look good and perform good. We want both if we can. So that, yeah, that's better designs. Let's go. Can you agree on that, or you're like, whatever?
I mean, I'm kind of whatever on this. Like, it's I mean, like. I don't know. I'm just there to play. So
never mind. Give him a black paddle. Just give him a black paddle, black yeah. grip. Dress him in black. Doesn't matter. Well, fair enough. You know, not everyone cares about the design.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
I think, like, we're getting to this point where, like, a lot of, at least, you know, the consumer base is starting to get a bit smarter and, like, understanding more about paddle technology, specifically obviously, like, the Discord channels. But I think one thing that'd be nice is if companies started talking a bit more or releasing more information about, like, what's in their paddles, in terms of, previously a lot of times people didn't say, like, how many layers of carbon fiber are being used or how many layers in general are being used in the paddle. Like, there could have been paddles in the past that potentially had carbon fiber and fiberglass in it, but they just didn't say that. And then now you see some companies are saying, like, how, like, wide their cell diameters are. And, you know, that also, like, factors into how that paddle plays. You know, there are, I think it was Pursuit, they did that podcast on, like, the difference of cell pore sizes and how they affect the paddle. And I think just having all that information on the website is more important than all the marketing we were just talking about earlier with, like, oh, you know, unparalleled sweet spot. But, like, no, it's like, yeah. Oh, we have a 6mm core. We're actually smaller than average. So I think that'd be nice for viewers and, you know, for us as well, too.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You know, none of these companies want to admit that they're smaller than average, but, but we could see if they could, you know, just put the facts on the site and let us know. I think that's good. And, like, companies, well, I have one more, but I was like, companies like Chorus have been doing a great job. Like, they really give us all the details and they let us, like, relay that information to people. They don't put any embargo on, be like, oh, you can't share this. Let's say, like, they want everyone to know what exactly goes into the paddle. So I appreciate that because, I mean, it's not like everyone's going to care, but it's nice for us to know, lets us review easier, and then for all those paddle nerds that really want to know, helps them out.
Yeah.
And then my next one's kind of, I guess I had two, but it's kind of like, I should have just made it as one because it's like a combo thing. It's about power paddles. So, like, one, I hate break-in periods on any paddle, but especially, like, the power paddles that super heat up, the Gearbox, the Yolas, the Ripples, although the new Ripple didn't seem to heat up on me, so maybe that's fine. But, like, just having, and I guess, the Pickleball Pulse from Pickleball Apes.
Yeah.
So, like, having that break-in period just makes things difficult, I think, because I don't think that every paddle that breaks in is going to play the same as another paddle that's, you know, the same paddle. Say, like, two Pickleball Apes Pulses, they're not going to play the same even after they break in, because maybe they're going to break in and differently. Like, maybe one's the foam expands this much, the other the foam expands this much, or there's less, it just makes it hard because, like, how do you tell someone, like, all right, well, like, play with it for 8 hours, and then in that ninth hour it's going to change like this, and then maybe they don't hit it hard enough to make it change, you know, which kind of seems the case with the pulses. Like, I think that some aren't changing. Maybe they're just not hitting it hard enough to break open the foam in those tubes. So, would really like to not have break-in periods on power paddles specifically. I think that's really like the main area where paddles have been breaking in. And then the pricing on power paddles, insane. Like, we're getting up to the 300s now.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Like, come on. Stop price gouging us. I mean, I don't even pay for, I don't pay for it, but like, geez, $300? Crazy. That's all for my resolution slash rant.
Yeah, that's actually kind of basically what my next one was. And that was, I do kind of wish they would stop making power paddles. I personally don't think the game should be, any faster. And I, personally don't like having power paddles as like mainstream. But, that's a personal thing. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you just need to get faster reflex or get better. But, I think the sport is a bit more fun without the power paddles personally.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think the game was more fun without the power paddles. Like, bringing in the YOLA Gen 3s, the mod, and those into the game, I think made the game less fun. Especially because, like, say you had the gearbox, at least with the gearbox, it wasn't in everyone's hand. Like, you really didn't see it that much. But since YOLA has such a large footprint, they have so many ambassadors, more people just like the YOLAs more. And, like, at first, gearbox paddle was pretty, like, the sweet spot was very small. I mean, it is still small, and also like kind of hard to maneuver, especially if you added weight to help fix that sweet spot. But when the YOLAs came, just like everyone could play them, everyone was playing them, and I do wish the game could be a little slower. I think it would be more fun overall.
I
But
definitely agree with you there.
I guess you try to find four people that agree with you and just go play and. That's that, but that's hard to do because you there seems like there's always one YOLA on the court these days. I don't know. Yeah, I can't even think. Like, I'm trying to think of when I've played recently, and I feel like there's always a YOLA on the court, if not every other court. It's insane. But yeah, that's all my resolutions. If you're done too with yours,
Yeah, I think that was probably gonna be my last one. I don't know. Maybe I'll
okay.
think about one for the next episode.
Yeah, save
It's
it.
a
We might
random
we
one, but
got
it's good.
time. We got time for one more resolution next episode. Let us know your resolutions down in the comments or any thoughts on the subjects today. I'd love to know your resolutions, personal or for paddles or for facilities if we missed it. Course super courts, no idea when they come out. I forgot the date now. It's maybe
February? Was it February?
let's say February. We'll get an update. It's not like coming in like the next 2 or 3 weeks, so haven't hit them yet either. But I like the looks on this. They had like a previous version that they made, but it's not the same. This is a thermoform with the fiberglass as the second layer. Sounds good. But yeah, I'm not gonna, I guess don't rely on me for the specs right now because I don't quite remember. But they had a nice chart that says this is supposed to be like more powerful and more poppy than the Shapeshifter series. And I like the Shapeshifter series, so I'm excited to try out the Super Quartz. Seems like it'll be a nice spot in between their fire and Shapeshifter. So, and that comes in all their three shapes, so pretty cool. They also have the Echo series coming out, which is just like a control-oriented thermoform paddle that's going to be under 100 bucks
That
after
one's like
discount.
pure, just straight up carbon fiber.
Yeah, just carbon fiber thermoform. Supposed to be soft, I think, and control-oriented, but I'll have to try it out. I got those. We both got those in the mail this week and haven't been playing, so I just damn time to do anything. And then the banger from Enhanced Pickleball, 14 millimeter.
I
Around
just
the edgeless, comes with some stickers that says "Banger Bangers Beware" or something. Giant pickleball, and yeah, we'll see how that one plays. That one will be interesting. Haven't really played with the edgeless 14 in a while, so don't know. Don't know.
Yeah, I just got those as well, like the banger. I'm guessing it's going to be similar to the Holbrook Arrow, so I'll be hitting those
Okay.
side by side. I'm also going to bring out the Diadem Infinities, have them like a whole like edgeless review going or edgeless comparison going around. Funny thing about the course, I got the paddles yesterday and I had just taken out the recycling, and then my wife was like, did you take out all the recycling? We need a cardboard box to store all the glass recycling for our party. And then conveniently, Kors shows up on the doorstep and with that big box. I was like, oh, well, it looks like we just got one. So nice. I was able to use that Kors box to take up the rest of the glass recycling.
Love it. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Gotta love it. And are you coming out with a best paddles list for 2024?
Yeah. I don't know when I'm going to release it yet. It's either going to be next week or I might release it in the new year and just make it a 2025 video, but we'll see. I don't know fair, about time.
Fair enough, because I was going to ask, we could talk next time, we could talk about the biggest misses. I can already tell you my biggest, not biggest miss, but like the biggest one people were asking me, like anytime you release a list of paddles, people ask why their paddle isn't on the list. Like it really matters. If you already bought the paddle, like enjoy the paddle.
Yeah.
But the Pickleball Apes Pulses, a couple people were not happy that they weren't on my list. So
yeah. Well, they if they had sent them to me earlier, I could have had more time with them, but I just got the V. Like I didn't have
literally just got it this week.
Yeah.
So. What can you do? What can you do? Yeah, sometimes, guys, we don't get the stuff at the same time as some other people. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get it before them. It really just depends on the company. So it's, and also, at the end of the day, each reviewer, each person can't really try all the paddles out there, right? Like, just not possible. So we do our best. But sometimes, you know, if we don't get good playtime with it, can't make the list for the best, right? Yeah. And at the end of the day, some of these things are really close. They're really good. And if you enjoy the paddle, just keep playing with it. Don't worry about what someone else says. That's all I have this week. I hope that I come back healthier next week. And I hope everyone has some happy holidays out there. Anything else cooking over there, David?
No, I think just... I think I told you last week how I was going to release some reviews. I think I just started doing that. They're literally recorded. I just need to release them. I was being lazy about editing. But I think the last ones I've got coming up for this year, the doing a small video on the 247 myth steak, and then the gherkins. And then I'll probably, once that's done, I'll do the best paddle. So we'll see if I can do it all within for the next episode of this podcast. So.
We got some... A week or so left. You better get crunching on those.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do it during Christmas when I'm off work.
All right, I look forward to a Christmas review drop. Be my present from you under the tree.
I wonder if watching a paddle review on Christmas Day.
I don't know. I mean, I imagine, like maybe in the there's some dead times in Christmas Day. It just depends what you're doing. I don't know.
Maybe if you did a Hoodef video, like, you know, Ariana Wilson will be watching it.
I'm sure she would be. Shout out Ariana Wilson, one of our biggest fans. Don't forget to switch that account when you go to comment, though.
Yeah.
but that's it. Have a good one. If you know, you know. Thank you very much.